Welcome to Legal, Legal, and the Coach, a show set to present local and national trailblazers in business and celebrity circles like authors and speakers who will share their stories, struggles, adventures in life, and keys to their success brought to you by Tough Talk Radio Network. Here are your hosts, David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser.
Welcome, family, friends, and listeners around the world to another episode of Legal, Eagle, and the Coach. I am the coach, Brian Kaiser, and today the Legal Eagle, Mr. David Altenburn, is actually doing what he does best, and he is in court in a trial. So he's having to handle a case today, so I will be your humble host for the show today, and it will be as fun and energetic and exciting as it always is. And we'll let the Legal Eagle listen to the replay of our interviews and the show, and he'll be able to give us his feedback next week. So really, there's a lot of exciting things going on, and a lot of really, really neat things that we've got coming up and coming out. So I can barely keep it all in, but make sure you're paying attention to the Legal Eagle and the Coach Radio or website and Facebook page, because we are on Facebook at Legal Eagle and the Coach, and see what some of those new opportunities and new events are as we post them up there and promote them out. I think for the listeners and entrepreneurs and speakers and business coaches, there's going to be a whirlwind of opportunity and fun, both learning and doing and participating and growing, that we've got coming up between now and the end of the year. So make sure you're following us on Facebook. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at the 10X Factor. And also we have our blog at legaleagleandthecoach.tumblr.com. So today I want to talk about something that is, I guess, a little bit of my passion, you could say. Noted as being the world's greatest connector, and some people get confused on what exactly that is. And as my producer, Tony Gambone, has told me, well, you know, Brian, you're kind of the world's greatest announcer, and so ancillarily that makes you the world's greatest promoter. But what I'm really passionate about is helping people get connected and connecting with other people, not just any people, but the right people. It really doesn't help you if you get connected to just a bunch of folks, because you're not going to get anywhere with just a bunch of folks unless they're the right folks that are going to actually be able to participate and use your services and your products, and then you also be able to reciprocate back and form a relationship where you both can grow. If you're not connected to the right people, it just probably won't work. So I often tell people, and they get confused, and so I thought it would be a great opportunity, since the Legal Eagle is not here to banter with me, to just dive into that a little bit and tell people and give people a little bit more of an idea of what does the world's greatest connector do? Well, I like to connect people, like I said, but I do that by helping them learn who the one person is that they're trying to speak to. I use a analogy when I'm talking, when I get to speak in groups, and at my 10X Tank event, I use an analogy. If you go to any of the footage from the Super Bowl and you watch and listen to any of the commercials, you'll see that Budweiser pops up 3 to 4 to 5 different commercials during the Super Bowl. Each one of those commercials has the same message, same underlying message, yet the context and the content and the way the commercial is put together and the verbiage that's used, the visuals, all of that are speaking to one person in a demographic that they're trying to reach with their message. So they're going to have one commercial that will have the stereotypical just out of college group, you know, just newlywed, just out of college, have the sweatshirts and jerseys on. They're probably doing a barbecue. And the wife, the new girlfriend, shows up with Budweiser beer. And then they have another commercial, totally different setting, older person in a bar, more of a bar, formal setting, very nice. And, of course, what are they drinking? Same thing. So they're talking to one person in the demographic. So they're speaking directly to one person. And what are they doing to that one person? They're solving a problem that's worth solving for that person. Now, they understand that within that person, there's 4 very different, very distinct personalities, That's why they have four different commercials, all the same message, all focused on a different person within that person, if that makes sense. A person within that person. There's four, you can picture it as four people within one picture of a person. You can just divide it into four, and you'll have these different personalities, these different characteristics, and things will be different. They'll connect differently and resonate differently with a different message and visuals and all of that. So Budweiser, they've spent millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. So has Coca-Cola, so has Nike, so has Adidas, so has Under Armour. I could go on and on and on. Figuring out the very simple thing that I like to help people do in getting connected and being the world's greatest connector: how do you speak to that one person and solve a problem that's worth solving for that one person? And if the problem's not worth solving for the person that you're targeting, then that's where you'll, as you do your trial and error, as you put it out there and you go back and forth a little bit and kind of do some test marketing with your message, you'll find what resonates with them and find what doesn't. And you'll probably have to go through a little bit of a process to do that. But once you nail it, once you get it to where you're speaking to the groups within the one person that you want to, you'll find that your business will grow exponentially. I like to call it the 10X factor. And that's my Twitter handle, the 10X factor. So I like to call it the 10X factor. You get a 10 times better return on your investment of time, money, and effort when you are speaking to one person about solving one problem that's worth solving for that one person, for those distinct and very different personalities within that person. So as you carry forward in being a connector and being the world's greatest connector, what is it that you have to focus on? If you've ever, and I posed this to a group a couple of weeks back, have you ever seen a Coca-Cola commercial where they've advertised Coke Classic, Diet Coke, and Powerade all in the same commercial? And they've advertised all three of them together. Guess what? Neither have I. And you probably never will, because they know that that kind of quote-unquote shotgun marketing doesn't work. It's too much. It's an overload of products, overload of what they do best on their targeted one person. And it's the problems that they're solving are too broad. There's too many problems there that are worth solving with three different products. Now think about it as the entrepreneur or the new business owner or a small business owner, and you're putting out your marketing message, or maybe you're building your website, and on your website you have every single solitary product and service that could possibly be known to man on that website, because you can do that. You're an entrepreneur. You can solve those problems. But you have all of them, all the products and services that do that, and you list all the problems that you solve. What's going to happen when you do get someone attracted to go check it out? They're going to go there. They're going to spend their 6 to 9 seconds looking at that and go, oh, wow. And then they're going to click back to Google to go search the next person down, because there's just too much. So if you follow with this line of thinking and you follow the mindset that is behind some of the big boys, as we call them, the Budweisers, the Nikes, the Under Armours, if you follow this methodology, then you would actually have a website for each product. Or maybe not a full website, but maybe just a landing page for each product. You'd have a landing page for each service. You would, on there, you would find what is the problem that fits the most people in the demographic and is worth solving for the most people in the demographic, and focus like a laser on solving that problem and putting out information and teaching and instructing and alerting and bringing in other experts that also add value to solving that problem, and point them in the direction of your product or service that you do best. So one product, one service, it's just one, and then it's one message about a problem that's worth solving for one person that you understand has four very different, very distinct personalities in that avatar that you're trying to target. So to be the world's greatest connector is kind of a play on marketing words a little bit, because that's what I like to help people do. And if you've ever had an introduction from me, or you ever had the chance to be introduced to me, then the first thing I will do is sit down and listen to you and listen to who you are. I will listen to where you are, and I will listen to where you want to go. I'll tell you a little bit about myself, and I'll tell you a little bit about my vision for Growth Coaching Systems Network and for the Legal Eagle and the Coach radio program and for other things that I have going on. But mostly I'm going to listen to you and find out those three key things. And then from there, I'll start making introductions to people that have either they're similar in mindset, they have similar products or services, they somehow complement you in some certain way, or maybe they're further along in business or in doing what you're doing, and I'll make introductions to help you grow and help you expand your business and get to achieving your dream. So, you know, I follow the three keys. It's called the three keys session, the three keys to your success, and I can't lie. I came up with that many, many, many years ago and actually got it from a coach. I don't even remember the coach that I got it from, another gymnastics coach, actually, that was his – he went through this process with everybody that came in the door that wanted to be on his competitive team, because he didn't want anyone to get into a situation where the expectations weren't met. They were expecting something from the team, and they got something else. And he also wanted them to understand that there was his expectations of, you know, you're going to be at practice, you are going to be at the competitions. There wasn't any excuses short of, you know, death that you weren't going to show up, and how important it was to, you know, be a part of the whole. Even if you were a superstar or you were the worst one on the team, you still were a part of the team. So he went through this process, and I do it when I sit down with entrepreneurs so that I can figure out who they are, where they are, and where they want to go, so that I can help them do what I do best, be the world's greatest connector, and get them connected to the right people. So I have a team of people that work with me, and we do a lot of different things. We use a lot of things to help people use video, and I'm helping people understand those three P's, the one person, the one problem, the one product, the three P's I call them. Understand how you use that to make attraction videos, how you use that to make your nurturing videos, how you use that to make your email campaigns, how you use that to make your follow-up process. Oops, did I say follow-up process? That's a good point. Once you know how to use the three P's, the follow-up becomes easy because you know exactly what they're interested in. You know exactly, because, you know, most of the times if you're following up, they're either a prospect or they're a customer. If they're a prospect, then you know that they need a little more nurturing. If they're a customer, they've already bought from you. You've already gotten to the know, like, and trust, and gotten past that part to the initial relationship builder of exchanging dollars for service or product. So now you can put them into a nurturing campaign of another type and try to get them interested in another product or service that you do best. The same as, let's think about it, Nike would do. If you bought Nike shoes, then they would also have very close to where the Nike shoes are some maybe Nike socks. And then you would go some a little short distance from where you got the shoes, and they have Nike shorts and Nike shirts and Nike everything else that Nike does. So it's a subtle way of nurturing a relationship. You came in for one lead magnet, if you will. You came in for one reason. You got into the funnel. You got to like and really be interested in that journey and that product, that service, those people. They got interested in you, and now you're doing business with them, or they're doing business with you. That relationship has to build. So it's always fun to be in a situation to get a lot of new connections. And it's what you do with those connections that's going to matter. And if I can make the point one more time, the follow-up is really, if you're not doing a good job of follow-up, you're leaving a lot of money on the table, because sometimes you're spending tens of thousands of dollars on the attraction piece in the marketing life cycle. You're spending tens of thousands of dollars to put the right message out there, to capture the leads, to nurture them. And then when you convert them, you get them to be a client, then all of a sudden you just totally drop the ball and there's nothing there. And that doesn't make sense to me, because you work so hard, you put so much time, effort, and money into those first three steps, and then you got them to the point of conversion without really having to try, because they came with the checkbook open because you had done a good job speaking to them. Now the checkbook's open, they go ahead and purchase, and now you drop the ball and you're not doing anything with them. So that follow-up piece is crucial to making sure you're not leaving money on the table. And the funny thing is, that follow-up piece is a retargeting of your converted client or converted person into a friend, a customer, or a referral partner. And if you're trying to build the referral partner business, then that's really a big deal, because without understanding that once they buy, you're going to put them right back into a retargeted attraction type of a campaign, where either you're going to visit with them again and introduce them to something else that you've learned is a problem worth solving for them, and then you're going to start nurturing that so that you can get the upsell. And it's the upsell, once they've bought 2, 3, they've had great experiences with you all these times, now they become a referral partner. Now they're telling your story. Now they're out promoting you. And that budget that was now, you know, sometimes in the tens of twenties of thousands of dollars, now it can be a little less and a little less and a little bit more strategic, because you're building these referral partner relationships. But without understanding that those first three steps just are repeated after the sale, then you keep the connection going, if you will. You keep the relationship building so that you can get to referral partners. So that's, in a nutshell, that is what being the world's greatest connector is, and helping the people to do that. Now, how I help specifically do that is I have a network of coaches, counselors, mentors, done-for-you service providers that I refer you to. I meet you, I learn about you, I make some introductions, and then I refer you to the coach that I think is best suited for the direction that you're trying to go. And if it's someone, if you're in a home-based, multi-level marketing type business, I've got a coach for that. If you're having trouble just finding you, and you're playing games with your life and your relationships, guess what? I've got a great coach that helps you learn and take a new definition of gamble. So you can get in there and learn that, you know, it's probably not cool to be gambling with your career, with all your relationships, and with the purpose of your life. You should probably figure that out and get on track and stay between the guardrails, as he puts it. So I do this session. It's free of charge for everyone that comes in and does the 3 key session. And I have affiliate links with my coaches. I have referral money that comes back to me. That's how I keep doing what I'm doing. The world turns because we all make money, and that's how I help make mine. I also do some events that help with that. So just it's a level playing field. I'm not particular or biased to anyone, but my session's free, and it's good to sit down with someone outside your business. Tell them about your business, tell them about where you want to go, and let them see what you're not seeing. Because if you're in the daily grind, just grinding out day in and day out and day in and day out, then now you're so entrenched in what you're doing, you can't see the forest for the trees. And any new thing or anything that would be better or any new way of doing it, you're going to look at it negatively, because it's got to be done the way you're doing it, because that's what seems to be working for you right then. So sitting down, doing the 3 key session, and then opening your mind up to where, you know what, if I got someone to help me, if I started working with someone that had already built several businesses, they'd already been through a lot of these trials and tribulations that I'm having now, they understand how to get virtual assistants, they understand the power of how the back office and the CRM and the lead magnets and all this stuff online works. If I start getting with these people, now I can truly grow my business and enjoy a lifestyle of being an entrepreneur instead of just being the solopreneur that gave themselves a job. So I hope I've cleared up what the world's greatest connector is and what the world's greatest connector does. And you can always go to my website, www.gcsnetworkpartner.com, and log in there. You can go and direct it to my calendar, set up a date and time that works for you to sit down either on Skype or in person, have a cup of coffee with me, find out who you are, where you want to go, and then I can start working with you on what I love to do best, and that is connecting people and you learning about the three P's and how you use them and how you can start implementing that type of thinking and process in your business to have it grow exponentially. So, been a little long on the monologue today. We only have one guest, so I went a little long, but our producer said that, you know what, really would be good if you explained in this show exactly what the world's greatest connector does. And I said, you know what, that's a great idea. So I hope everyone's gotten value and benefit out of the conversation, and be looking forward to David Barnett coming up after these commercials.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Growth Coaching Systems Network exists to serve you, the business owner, by assessing, coaching, and connecting you to the right person or people that can provide you the best next step in building and progressing your business, health, and relationships. GCS Network and our collaborative partners believe in delivering 10x results by breaking through the spin, churn, and burn cycle, giving you the right relationships, message, and visibility necessary to succeed. Please connect with Brian by phone or email at 713-345-0223 or brian@gcsnetworkpartner.com.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Brian Kaiser, the coach on this show, and the Legal Eagle is out today actually doing what he does best, and he is actually in court and in a trial situation, so I'm sure that he's he loves the law, so I'm sure he's loving what he's doing, but I know he loves the show and is missing that, but he'll love listening to the replay. This segment is brought to us by our friends over at Events of Significance, and Events of Significance specializes in event planning for leaders, including entrepreneurs, authors, coaches, and speakers. They have knowledge and resources to increase your attendee count, create a signature experience, make a profit, and make you look like a rock star. From details to done, Not just creating events, but creating results, events of significance. When you call them or you email them, make sure you mention you heard about them on Legal Eagle and the Coach. You get a 10% discount on your next event. You can find those guys over at www.eventsofsignificance.com. I'm really excited to bring on my first guest, Mr. David Barnett. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Coach. How are you today?
You know, I'm blessed and highly favored. I've kind of missed the Legal Eagle because I usually hang out with him during this hour, and we get to banter and cut up a bit. But having a great show, and really glad you could join us and give us some great information and insights in what you do.
Oh, look, I'm more than happy to come on to the show. I love doing appearances like this. How did you want to start? Did you want to find out how I got into local investing, or where do you want to go?
You know what the bigger question, because I, you know, since I'm the coach and I work on connections, that's my main thing is being the world's greatest connector. Is I want the audience to know who is David Barnett? Who's the guy behind the financial successes that you've had in the financial planning world that you're in? Who is that guy?
Well, I'd love to tell you, but I've always had a desire or a thirst for entrepreneurship and business ever since I was a kid. And when I got out of university, you know, I mistakenly thought that if you wanted to be an entrepreneur and get excited about business, that you needed to go to business school and get a degree in business. But in fact, they don't actually teach that there. What they teach is how to be a middle manager in a big company. And so when I got out of university, I said, you know, I need to get in touch with small, nimble, active businesses, but I also needed to pay back my student loans and I needed to earn an income. So I found myself in a really great career. I spent 7 years as an account rep with a Yellow Pages publisher. So for 7 years, I went out and I sat down with the owners and managers of every manner of business that you can imagine and sat down with them and said, when the phone next rings, who do you want it to be? Now, this was back from, you know, 1998 until 2005, back when the Yellow Pages was, you know, huge as far as finding businesses, connecting people like you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before Google really became local. I remember in those days, if you typed plumber into Google, you'd get a guy in California, right? Because he had the highest SEO of all the plumbers in the world, right? They hadn't quite gotten that local thing down. And I left that business, I left the Yellow Pages in 2005 because I could see the writing was on the wall and that industry was going to be going into a decline. And I started a small business with a partner and we got it set up and we followed Mike Gerber's E-Myth book and we got systems in place. And it was such an immediate success that a year and a half later when my partner told me that he was no longer interested in the business, we were able to sell it after being in business for only a year and a half. And I started looking around for a new opportunity. I wanted to continue to be involved in small businesses and entrepreneurs. So I became a small business finance broker. I started to arrange capital leases, operating leases. I started to do proposals for bank loans and lines of credit. I would set up factoring facilities, which is when a quickly growing business is selling receivables to turn them into cash more quickly. I was doing these kinds of financial things for businesses, and I was learning a tremendous amount from the companies that I was brokering these deals to from the lending institutions, because some of them were banks and some of them were smaller finance companies. And I live in Canada and I live in New Brunswick, and so when a company from Toronto wanted to set up an equipment lease down here, say with a vehicle, they had to register the vehicle down here, but they didn't have anyone to do it. And so I got an inside track on the processes involved in how to actually set up these deals, because they would send me a limited power of attorney and ask me to go down to the motor vehicle branch to register the piece of equipment into their company's name. And I would see all of the, you know, sort of the step-by-step functions that they went through to protect their interest and make sure that their money was secure in the deal that they were doing. And, you know, the whole while I was reading books about, you know, financial planning, about buying mutual funds and stocks and putting my money in term deposits and things like this. And at the same time, I was helping entrepreneurs get financing where they were paying, like, you know, 12%, 15% or more in interest. And I was opening up statements from my bank telling me that I was lucky because I had earned 3, you know. and I thought to myself, what the heck is the bank doing with my money? When you go into a bank today in the United States and you want to put your money into a term deposit, what kind of rates are they giving us, Coach?
Oh, for term things?
Like for
I think
a CD.
You're getting like 1-2%?
Yeah, and when you give that money to the bank, what are they going to do with it?
Oh, they're going to turn it around and they're going to be 4-7%.
Yeah.
On their loans.
So I started to realize that, you know, the whole world is divided. Whenever you want to consume anything, it's divided into two worlds, right? There's retail and wholesale.
Right.
Eggs, you know, are more expensive at the 7-Eleven than they are at the Costco, right?
Yes, they are.
Right. But you got to do a little bit of work to get to Costco. It's out by the highway, right?
Right, right.
So I started to realize that the world of investing is divided into retail and wholesale investments. When you go down to the bank and you give them your money for that CD, you literally have to do nothing, and you get that 1%. They do all the work.
Right.
That's retail. When they turn around and take the money and lend it to someone for a car, they got to find the person to borrow the money. They have to do all the paperwork. They have to manage the payment flow, make sure the guy pays the loan, and when he doesn't, they have to take action.
Right.
That's your wholesale investing. Okay.
Gotcha.
So if you think of a bank the way you think of a store, the store buys wholesale and sells retail. The bank
right.
is selling you a retail investment, and they're out there putting their own money into wholesale investments. So I said, you know what? I know how to do this. I should be doing this myself. And that's when I started to do my own deals with my own money. So people would come to me looking for financing, and if it was a small deal, and this was critical at the beginning, if it was a small deal, maybe like $3,000, the big
mm-hmm.
finance companies aren't interested in even doing the paperwork on that.
Right.
They're not able to earn enough. But
right.
if I have $3,000 and I have the choice between putting in the bank at 1% or maybe trying to earn 12, it certainly makes sense for me to invest a couple of hours of my time. So
right.
very tentatively, very with a lot of trepidation, a lot of due diligence, and being very careful in the beginning, I started to do some of these deals myself with my own money. And I have done car leases. I've done leases on things like, you know, like a contractor van, those white vans, you know, like a Chevy
right.
cargo van. I've
uh-huh.
done leases and loans against equipment. I've done loans against mini homes. I've done loans against cars. I've done leases of cars. I have factored receivables from guys like painting contractors who got great jobs from insurance companies, but the insurance company takes 75 days to pay.
To pay, right.
And these guys have to pay for their labor and their materials right away. So
right.
I've been doing these types of deals, since 2009, basically.
Wow.
And you know how many of them have gone bad for me?
Probably, I would say, maybe one. You might have had one in there in that length of time.
I have yet to have one go bad. And
really?
There's a couple reasons. There's a couple reasons that I have identified in my book. My book's called Invest Local.
Yes.
couple of reasons that I think that's the case. The first one is I have a personal relationship with all of my borrowers. If you are going to, you know, fall behind and go bankrupt or become a deadbeat, it's far easier to not pay the bank than it is
mm-hmm.
to pay David.
Right.
Right.
Well, you know, I want to interrupt you 1 second on that because
yeah.
on that note, that's really key. I don't know how much of the intro, extra long monologue you caught, but that relationship piece that you brought up there, and I was trying to, in the monologue, I have on my LinkedIn, if you go find my LinkedIn profile, it says the world's greatest connector and frontman. And basically that is, I love connecting people to the right people and teaching them how to get connected to the right people, but then teaching them that it's the relationship after the connection that really is going to make you money or not make you money. And it seems that you found out early that if you built a relationship with these people with small things, that it's led to much larger things now through these relationships. Is that kind of how that's played out?
Well, the type of local investing that I advocate in my book, I don't think that people should go whole hog and put all their money into this kind of stuff. Myself, personally, I never have more than about 10% of my overall liquid holdings in these types of deals.
This
is part of diversification. And when you talk to a financial planner about diversification, they're going to talk to you about stocks versus bonds.
Right.
But those are only those are only two of the eight asset classes I talk about in my book.
Right.
It's the two they sell. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to look at the wealthiest people on earth, they're not just in stocks and bonds. They're in real estate, they're in precious metals, they own private companies outright, they have collectibles. Like there's many different classes of assets. And doing these types of small deals can give you exposure to the very lucrative world of small business without actually having to own or run a small business.
Exactly. Now, at what point did you take all of that and put it into the book?
Oh, it was only last year in March.
Did the business from, and I see here, like 2008 you've been doing this?
Yeah. Yeah, so last year, it was in February of 14, I was sitting with some friends and I was talking about some of these deals because, and I, all the stuff I'm talking about now is in the book. I was talking with some people about some opportunities that I had for deals that were a little bit bigger than what I normally like to do. And I bring friends in on deals all the time. That's how one of the ways that I share risk. Just a quick example, I recently did a deal for $6,000 worth of floor grinding equipment to a very new business that's only been around for about a year and a half, two guys who are about 30 years old. I looked at their business, I looked at what they were doing. They met my number one criteria in doing a loan. The number one criteria in doing a loan is that the loan I'm making is going to somehow improve the cash flow of the client. I'm either going to be lending them money so that they can reduce costs through greater efficiency, or they're going to increase sales. My greatest security for my payments is them having a healthy cash flow.
Right.
Because I'd rather get the money than have to repossess the equipment. So so these guys, they needed $6,000 worth of equipment. I made them the loan, and I took back the note. And then I immediately called up a buddy of mine who I often split deals with, and I said, I just wrote a note at 15.9% for $6,000. Would you like half of this deal? And he said, sure. So then I did a purchase and sale agreement with him where I sold him a 50% interest in the note for $3,000. And now every month when the payment comes to me, I immediately pay him half.
Right.
So that deal was done 9 months ago. And every payment's come in. So my exposure went from 6,000 to 3,000 by knowing that trick. And since then, my exposure is like $2,100 because I've collected, $900 in payments.
Right.
So, what is great about these small deals is that they are amortizing. Every month that goes by, part of my principal is returned to me. And I'm not counting on any future event that I don't control to bring my money back. Like if you go online and you look up private lending, you're going to find a ton of information about private lending for real estate. A term is called hard money lending. You might see that written somewhere. The reason I don't like that is because oftentimes the payments are interest only. The principal never gets paid down. And when you make that loan, you are counting on that person at some point in the future to qualify for credit from somebody else, like a bank.
Right.
Or that they're going to sell the house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fortune teller. I don't like.
You don't want to be in that business looking into the crystal ball and saying, well, am I going to get my money back?
Well, exactly, right? But if I look at a set of financial statements and I see that guys consistently have a profit every month, and I ask myself, do I reasonably believe for the next 2.5 years they're going to be able to afford to pay me $200? It's very easy, right? And there's no risk of anyone else having to do anything monumentous in the future, because once the last payment of $200 has been given to me, I'm paid, I'm done, right?
Right.
So now we got off on a little bit of a tangent there, but I forget where the tangent started. You'll have to remind me.
Oh, well, you know, it's just the relationship piece. You brought up the relationship because you had made the point that you made these deals and you've grown your business without having any of the deals go bad. And being in business from 2008 till today, especially with all the ride of the market, you know, we've had a ride in the market for, you know, jobs and this and that and the oil prices and yada, yada, yada. And you've weathered all those storms and still not had any of your deals go bad. And like I said, I did the piece in the monologue where I was telling people that it's that relationship, you know, that once you start doing business, and you had mentioned doing small things, and then it led to some bigger things, and you know, where you were comfortable. So it's those relationships that are going to make you wealthy over time and make you rich, if you want to say it that way, because you'll have both the relationship, which will be very valuable, and you will be making a decent living, or excellent living, depending on how you live, because of that.
Well, and the relationship thing, that was the path I was headed down. Thank you. It's very interesting because many of the people that I do these deals with could walk into a bank and get a loan. But what they've come
but
to
they
learn...
But they choose to do business with you instead.
Yeah. What they've come to learn is it's easier and faster to do business with me. And so you help out someone once, and then the next time they want to do something or get a piece of equipment, and once their loan or whatever is paid off, they call you up and they say, yeah, I want to do another deal. Here's another opportunity I have. Because they know that the bank is going to torture them, and the bank is going to make them feel... You know that feeling when you're at the bank and you have your cap in your hand and you're, you know, wondering, geez, am I going to qualify for the mortgage? Will they please, please, please let me borrow the money? You know, instead of that normal customer relationship you have, you know, when you walk into, I don't know, the jewelry store and you have the attitude, you know, show me what I want. Show me what makes me happy. Right? I'm the customer.
Right.
When you walk
into
the bank, somehow that relationship is twisted all backwards.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. It makes a lot of people uncomfortable. And I think there's even, as you point out, there's some entrepreneurs and small business owners that get stuck not being able to grow because of their fear of dealing with the bank.
Well, you know, from the entrepreneur side of things, what's really interesting is that about a third of the readers that I've heard back who have bought my book are actually on the other side of the table. They bought my book because they are people with businesses trying to figure out how to entice people within their social networks to make investments into their businesses.
Right.
And they buy my book to try to understand it from the other point of view. And then they're able to approach these people and say, look, you know, check this out. This is the way to do the deal because here's how you're safe. I don't advocate unsecured lending of any kind. I think that if the bank always wants to have collateral, so should you.
Right. And that's key. I think that's key.
Yeah. You want to know when you get into a deal, what is the worst thing that can happen, and what is my plan to manage that if it ever did happen? The book, in the back of the book, there's a section on risk where I identify and talk about 10 different types of risk, what they look like, how to identify them, and how to address them in your deal if you feel that that's the particular kind of risk that you're exposed to. So it's a real how-to book, and I go step-by-step through a lot of the deals that I've done, and I also share some of my leveraging techniques. So, for example, I financed a mini home, a mobile home, to a woman who had gotten divorced. The divorce had led to a bankruptcy. She was discharged from bankruptcy, had no debt, but she couldn't borrow. because of this on her credit file. She had gotten part of the money out of her old marital home because it had sold. So she literally had $10,000 in her hand, and she was trying to buy a $20,000 mobile home. And, you know, so I made her a loan for half that amount. I put out $10,000 of my own money. The note was written at 19%. I then took that note and used it as collateral to borrow $9,000 from a friend of mine at a substantially lower interest rate.
Right.
So while the original note was at a rate of return of 19%, after I applied that leverage, my rate of return went to 124%.
Nice.
Now, if I had borrowed $10,000 from my friend, I would have been in a situation where every month I was getting money from her and giving less money to him. That would have been an infinite rate of return,
or what
is magically called free money.
Sweet deal, too. And just so the listeners know, the book is called Invest Local, A Guide to Superior Investment Returns in Your Own Community, and you can find it on Amazon. So the book that we're discussing now and the parts that he's bringing up are found in that book, which is a bestseller on Amazon, so you can very easily find it. Well, David, when people come to you, when they find you, they search you out, they find you, either in your local community or since now, you know, things are a little more global, what is the top of your funnel? What do you do with people that are brand new and they're coming in to kind of, check you out and see how this works and get, you know, let you do what you do best and teach them and educate them to this process? What does the top of that funnel look like?
When people come to me? You mean if they want to learn how to invest, or if they're coming to me looking to borrow some money?
If they're coming in looking to borrow some money, or if they're coming in looking to invest, what are those? I know they're two separate funnels, but is there a free session that you have with them where you work through some initial question and answer, some Q&A from their side, and then go from there on the investing side? Is it something that you go through and check them out and see how you can build a relationship and start working on possibly doing some deals and creating this? How does that look?
Well, when people want to find out about how to do these deals, they buy the book. Also on my blog site, investlocalbook.com, there's a free download. I used to be a monthly columnist for a business magazine, and there's 15 of the timeless articles that continue to be relevant. They're all packaged together. People can download that. And what happens is people then reach out to me once they find their first deal, and they look for my help to try to evaluate that deal. And when I do those sort of really quick consulting jobs, I do it on the Clarity.fm platform. So on Clarity.fm, it's a really easy pay-by-the-minute consulting platform, and you'll find thousands of advisors on there from all different kinds of different topics. On my blog site, investlocalbook.com, there's a link to my Clarity page. So I had a call the other day from a guy in California, and one about a month ago from a guy out in Saskatchewan. And typically 45 minutes to an hour, and they're just paying a couple dollars a minute. But the sort of list of what you need to do is in the book. And I always recommend that people do their first deal within their greater social network. I found my deals by attending the Kiwanis Club. Through people I know, through people sharing my name with others, you know, groups like maybe an entrepreneur group at your church, the Kiwanis Club, the Rotary Club, that type of thing. You want to have a social connection with them, number one. You don't want to do your first deals with a stranger. You know how I said nobody wants to not pay David? They'll stop paying the bank, but they won't stop paying David, especially if David is friends with a bunch of their friends.
Right. No, and that's when you made that comment, then I was like, wow, that's a home run comment right there, because the relationship, especially today in the market and everything, since we are global, it's easy to go on the internet and find people, and you can find people that will do about anything that you need done. but it's finding the people that really have not only their best interest at heart, but your best interest at heart, and the best interest of the relationship at heart, to make wise decisions and not just jump forward into, you know, doing business or doing a deal that is going to end up in a bad way. So it's those relationships, it all comes back to that. If, like you said, they would not pay the bank because they don't know anybody there. You know, the bank is hundreds of, the home office is hundreds, maybe thousands of miles away, and you're right there in their neighborhood. So it makes a little bit of difference. And, of course, I'm sure doing deals, if you do get a global deal, there's a much more serious amount of vetting that I would assume went into that kind of a deal than would if they were just in your local community, correct?
Well, I've never done a deal that's been more than, you know, 20-minute drive from where I live, quite honestly.
Because I
want to drive over and look at the business. You know, you can tell a tremendous amount about what a business owner's mindset is by how he lets the place look.
Yes.
You know, does it need to be painted? Is there litter in the yard? You know,
right.
Is there a big pothole in the parking lot? Right.
Right.
I mean, the way people treat the facade and the public appearance of their business says a lot about the way that they feel about the business and the way that they run their business.
Right.
I did an auto financing. It wasn't even a normal deal. It was my ex-wife's car when we were still together. she wanted to trade her car in at the dealer, and the dealer was only going to give her $3,500 for it. And I looked online, and people were selling them privately for like $6,500. And I said, don't trade it in. I will sell it for you. I'll get more than what the dealer said, and I only want you to give me 3 days. She said, you can't sell the car in 3 days. Those other cars online have been online for weeks, and they haven't been sold. And I said, yes, but those people aren't as smart as me. Let me try. So I put the car on, asking more. I put it on for $6,900, and I put, seller will finance the right person with a reasonable down payment. And I met the next day a young couple in their 20s, and guess what they offered me for a down payment?
The amount you were wanting for the car?
No, they offered $3,500, the same amount the dealer was going to give us. So on day one, we got the same money the dealer was going to give us. And then I allowed them to pay the balance over 12 months with no interest. So
awesome.
Right? Okay.
That
they
is awesome.
They packed up 3 months later and moved to Calgary, Alberta. They moved 4,000 kilometers from where I live. Every month the money arrived. If they had chosen to stop paying me, there is no way on earth I would have been able to go through the hassle of repossessing that car for what at that time would have been the $600 or $800 they would have owed me.
Right, right.
But I was the guy that helped them get a much better car than they could afford simply because I was willing to let them pay monthly.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, Dave, this has been a great interview, and I've got the notes from Tony, that our producer, that I've got to wrap it up. How do people get in touch with you? I've already, you know, we mentioned the book, you know, Invest Local. It's found on Amazon and under the bestseller list there, and they can find it under David Barnett. And then how would they get in touch with you if they wanted to even jump onto a call with you? And I see the Clarity FM link up on your website there, but how would they get to that?
The best way to reach me is through my blog site, which is investlocalbook.com.
Okay, perfect.
And I try to put things up all the time, and there's all kinds of video blog posts that I put up with stories, education pieces. There's really, when people find that blog, I see on the stats, all of a sudden one day the traffic jumps by 200 views because somebody sat there all day and read everything. There's a ton of information.
Awesome. That is great. Yeah, I've been on it while we've been talking. I've been looking through it, so it's really good stuff, and I encourage all the listeners to go there. And, David, this has been a great interview. I appreciate you coming on the show. Hopefully we can get you back on again at some point down the road. And right now I've got a break for the last commercial break and wrap up the show.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Welcome back to the final segment, the recap of the show. It's been a great show. I hope everyone enjoyed the extra long monologue. And while we had a great guest, David Barnett, that, you know, he's built his entire business there by investing locally in his community. And he has the book on Amazon, Invest Local, that you can go and get. It's a bestseller there. And he spoke on some things that really went back to my monologue, which Dave and I didn't talk before the show. So pretty cool that he threw that in there. It was a really key point that he hasn't had any deals go bad when he's lending people money so that they can get the assets and things that they need so that they can grow their business and grow their dream. That he hasn't had any of those deals go bad because he has a personal relationship with those people. He's built that relationship over time. And, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that there were some exciting things that were going to be happening that the coach is getting involved in. Some of the things the Legal Eagle and the coach are getting involved in. We have our book coming out that we still need one or two authors to finish out A Journey to Success, and then that will be complete. But I also have something, and I know the listeners out there like blogs. I know you probably read blogs. You might even catch podcasts where people have put their blog into audio and they read their blog over the podcast, which I do sometimes myself. And so our very first guest, Mr. Mike Calderwood, and I have teamed up to do something called the BAM Blog Breakdown. And we have people that we're going to be reading or giving summaries of their blogs and introducing that to the audience. And the Legal Eagle and the coach is going to be promoting those on our Facebook page and everything else. But it's just breaking down blogs and opening up the list, you know, for people, helping everyone get connected and get connections. So we have people like James Arthur Ray and Jeff Shore and Gino Smith. We have a number of people. We're even talking and trying to get with Brendan Bruchard to see if we can get some of his people in there. So it's really, really, really cool. I'll have more information about that. It will be posted up on the Legal Eagle and the Coach Facebook page, which is facebook.com/LegalEagleAndTheCoach. So it's going to be cool. You got to listen to it. We've really planned it out well. We've gotten some great people to let us read and analyze their blogs. It'll be a lot of fun. I've had a great show. It's been great to interview David, and I look forward to coming back next week with the Legal Eagle as he returns from being at trial. And I will join you all again next Wednesday at 12 noon.
You have been listening to Legal Eagle and the Coach with David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.